ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Maseches Menachos, Daf Samach. The Gemara notes that we have a difference in the language of the Pasuk, but it says that you're not allowed to put shemen or levoina on the mechas choyte. It uses a different expression with the shemen, different expression for the levoina. So lo yosim aleho shemen, lo yitain aleho levoina. Lo yosim, do not place any shemen on the minchas choyte, and v'lo yitain, do not be noisein any levoina. So the Gemara says that the lashon of nesina implies that the aveira is specifically with a kazayas, that you only over the loisaseh if you put a kazayas of levoina on. Lo yitain. That expression, lo yitain, is not found regarding the shemen. It's a lo yosim aleha shemen, and the Gemara, in fact, has two ashoinos about the kamos, the quantity of shemen that it takes to place on the mechas levoina to be over. And according to one lashon of the Gemara, even a mashuho of shemen, even the minutest amount of shemen, is a violation of lo yosim, and you're over on the loisase. The second lashon of the Gemara, we have a suffix, and we leave it with a teku, because we have a question as to whether we learn out the expression of yosim from the word yitain. The yitain we know is bekazayas, and perhaps we learn from yosim to yitain that the shemen, just like the levoina, is the only violation of the loisase if the person placed a kazayas of shemen on the mechas choyte. Taisvis notes that if that's a klal, if that's something that we're going to learn to all over, that the word yitain is going to imply, or noisain, going to imply specifically a choshva amount, or kazayas. The Taisvis says it's ksas kosher that we find in the Torah that by truma, the pasuk says an expression of titen loy, a mitzvah say to give truma to the kohen, it says titen loy, and over there the implication ought to be also l'chayra, that you have to give at least a kazayas of nesina to be called titen loy. So why is it that we find, says Taisvis, that chito achas Poiteres esakri, as we find the Gemara tells us that even you take one grain of chita, of wheat, out of the kri. So on the Torah level, that actually suffices, and the Rabbanah level, the shurim, that we give how much shurim you have to take, but the Torah level, that's sufficient. That in fact, if a person would take one chita, one grain of wheat out, and it's going to patter the kri. Frektois, why? Why don't you say that in the boy, kezayas, by an expression of nesina, similar to what we find over here. And Taisa says, don't tell me that maybe chita achas is lav davka, it's just an expression, and maybe you have to do it, taka have to have a kazayas. So Taisa brings a couple of rayos that it's not true, and that we do have rayos in Chazal, that one chita, one grain, suffices to pata the kri. Taisa's notes, for example, that we find in the Yushalmi, that the Yushalmi in Peya discusses why it's not in the mission of Elu Dvorim She'en Lehem Shir, and the specific implication of it there is that the Mamish would have been in that mission, it has no shir, and even one chita, like Chazal say, is enough to pata the kri. Why not? What happened to Lashon of Titin? So Taisa leaves us with a question. Well, you don't apply the Lashon Titain and say that it needs to be Dafka B'Kazayas. So Fasemis says that if Shalayashev, you could say a teretz on this, and Fasemis comes up with quite a remarkable suggestion to get around Taisa's question. Fasemis says that perhaps there's two different dinim over here. One is the amount that you have to mafrish from the Kri, that it's set aside and designated as Truma, and that would be enough to have a Kolshu, to have a Chita Achas. Chita Achas or Pata the Kri. But perhaps, says the Fasemis, I'll hold on to the quantity of wheat kernels that I have to designate, have designated to as truma to give to the kohen, and then I'll separate quite a few, a number of chita achases out of my various kris, various piles of truma that I have in different times, different afroshes, and when it accumulates, mitzdarim from biyodoy, says the sesemis, it accumulates in his hands to the shear of a kezayas, to kedein asina, from kama hafroshes, then I'll give it to the kohen then. So the sesemis suggests, in other words, that we'll have tvei dinim, two different halachos, one of them a din in the hilchas hafrosha, where you mafish a small amount, not a kezayas, doesn't have to be a kezayas, and you mafish that as truma, then you hold on to it, and little by little accumulates in your hand from kama hafroshes, will accumulate to the Shir Kezayas, and then the Tzveiter Din, the Din of Nesina L'Kohen, is going to kick in, because Nesina L'Kohen has to be Kezayas. So at that point, when I have a Kezayas, the size of an olive that's mitzvah from a number of afroshes, Kezayas of Truma, I'll do my second halach, and I'll give it to the Kohen. In brackets, it says over there that there are rayas to this, and if a chen kosa lehedya, betoisis rid, bekedushin dan tznaf nun ches, in other words, that this Fasemis' idea is in fact found explicitly in the Toisis Rid in Kedushin. Now, the truth is that these parenthetical comments in the Fasemis, which are in brackets, were not made by the Fasemis, they were made by his son-in-law, who was a goyin in his own right, a great a goyim, and he was the editor and printer, the publisher of this Fasemes, and he added these various comments with the different Bekiyas and Rishonim and Achronim in a number of places, particularly really in Moyed, but you have it here too, bracketed comments. So it was not made by the Fasemes, this statement that this idea of his really found the Tosfos reading Kedushin. If we examine the Tosfos reading Kedushin, which is important that the Yesoidius, the Tosfos Rid, is discussed by Gedolei Achronim, it really, the truth is that the Tosfos Rid, while it's important and has a Yesoid, is not memish identical to what it says here in the Sfasemes. The Tosfos Rid over there in Kedushin asked the question, similar to the Tosfos in the Sfasemes, he asked the question, what about the fact that it says Titan Loi, and therefore what do we say Chita Achas Beteres Zakri by Truma? We ought to say that it has to have a Shir Choshev. The Tosfos Rid does not assume, actually, this question, by the way, that the Shir Choshev will be B'Kazayas. That's Tosfos' assumption that the way Tosfos has it here, based upon our Gemara. The Sfasemes actually asks, it should be a Choshev Shir, and he brings Rayas that we find the Lashon of Titan Loi, Chazal say Titan Loi Bereishis Hagains. The person has to give the quantity of the shearings of that year to the Kohen, and the Devar Reish that gains, Chazal say that you have to give Mishkal Chomish Shloim to the Kohen, it's a quantity, the weight of five selahs, and that's an amount that Chazal determined is the right amount, because it says Titan Loi by the Reish that gains. So you see Titan Loi is a Choshev amount, so why didn't Chazal say it is a Choshev, a significant amount of Truma that you have to give? And this is the Tosfos Rid question. The Tosfos Rid does, in fact, answer, there is a distinction between what it takes to be mafresh, to set aside, to pata the kri, to exempt the pile of tevua, to make it no longer tevel, to make it into chulin. So the distinction between that and the din of nesina l'kohen. But in terms of reading, it's really mavur from his lashon, that it isn't a question of allowing us to separated one chita, one grain, and then from kama hafroshes of mitzdarif, and then give to the kohen. He doesn't appear to allow that. Rather, the Tosfos Rid says that in order to mekayeh the din nesina l'kohen, the mitzvah would be to mafrish a shir choshev, an amount that's choshev, in order that from that hafrosh I'll make my nesina l'kohen, I'll give it in a way that is choshev. So that would be the mitzvah. If a person would want to violate the mitzvah, though, says the Tosfos Rid, which of course he shouldn't be doing, but if you do wish to violate the mitzvah and be mafrish even one kol shehu and one grain wheat, and make that into truma, that would be sufficient to mekayim the din of mafrish, of afrosha, of truma, which would pata the kri. You would be in violation of a mitzvah, though, because there was a din to mafrish in a way that's mekayim the nesina l'koyen. So, the Tosfos Rid has a tzvei din, and he does have two halachos, but it's mashman, the Tosfos Rid, he doesn't allow the option, alachatchila, of being mafrish, a small amount, less than a kazayas, and allowing it to a mitzvah and accumulate in your hand till it reaches the kazayas, and then give it to the koyen, rather the way to mekayim the mitzvah, mitzvah appropriately, the way that Mekayim the mitzvah is nesina, is imafesh a shir choshev, give that shir choshev to the kohen. So that really is a question on what the son of law, the Sasemis, says over here, that the Sasemis says chiddush is found already in the Tosfos Rid hundreds of years before the Sasemis. The truth is, the Sasemis is making his own suggestion over here, which is not exactly what it says in the Tosfos Rid, that you could Mekayim even the chatchila, just take out a small amount, less than a kezayas, a mafrosha, a mafresh the chita achas, part of the kri, and then little by little from kama hafroshes, and accumulates in your hand to a shir kezayas, then give to the kohen. I saw interestingly that the Shiurim of Michal Feinstein over here actually makes this point, and he assumes as a given that the Tosfos Rid is not identical to the Sasemes as Chiddush. It's interesting because, as we said, in this printed in the Sasemes is found that the Tosfos Rid Chiddush is identical to the Sasemes. It's a bracketed comment found that the Sasemes was made by his son-in-law, who was a goyim himself. Michal Feinstein assumes as a given what we said, that the Chiddushim here are not the same, and he points this out, and he actually elaborates and explains what is it that the Tosfos Rid holds, what is the Nekudas HaChiddush in the Tosfos Rid that differentiates between him and the Sasemes, and that makes him reject what the Sasemes says here, and the Michal Feinstein explains that the Nekuda of the Chiddush in the Tosfos Rid is like this, Doctor, that he says that we have, in fact, two Shlavim here, two different steps. One is to be Mafrish, the Hafroshas Truma from the Tevel and make the Tevel into Chulin, part of the Kri. And the second is a Din Nesina to give to the Kohen, a Tzveit Shlav, a second step. But the Rav Michal Feinstein says that it has been understood that the second step is a Megala on how you're supposed to do the first. In other words, V'balt, that in order to Mekayim the Din of Titan Loi, I'm going to have to fulfill Titan Loi with a Shir Choshev, that itself reveals that that's Kaveh that determines what type of Hafrosha you have to have. There's a Din to make the Hafrosha, a Mitzvah to make the Hafrosha, and a Oifen that fulfills from it, it'll be fulfillable from it, the Nesina. So you do your Hafrosha, Hafrosha Chashuva, so you may we make an Athena Chashuva, Mekayim the Titan Loi. The Titan Loi reveals a Megala back on what the Aturas HaFrosh has to be. That's an Akuda, says the Remichel Feinstein, that the Tosis Rid held, which Sassemeth was not Noches to. Sassemeth holds that the Shlav, the second step of the Nesina, doesn't megala to us anything about how the earlier Hafrosha had to be. So the Meila, the earlier Hafrosha has no reason that it has to be a kosher amount. It could be a kol shehu. And then when you get to accumulate a significant amount from Kama Hafroshais, then I make an Nesina Chashuv and give it to the Kohen. Tesis Ritshita was that the Nesina itself is megala on the Ersh the Shlav, the first step of the Hafrosha, that it itself had to be a Hafrosha Chashuva. Now, Rabbi Michael Feinstein says that perhaps I could have argued that maybe this question on whether the Nesina is Megala on the Hafrosha itself, maybe it depends on a Yesoidius Tikka Machloikis in the Sefer Mitzvot LaRambam, Machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Machloikis is found in the Shurish Yud Beis of the Shroshim of the Sefer Mitzvot LaRambam. As you know, the Sefer Mitzvot opens with various Shroshim, the fundamental principles which determine what I'm going to count in the Taryag Mitzvahs, in the 613 Mitzvahs. How do I count it? What do I leave out? What do I add? Combine together a number of elements into one Klaliyistik Mitzvah. What do I separate into multiple Mitzvahs? And these are the Shroshim. And the Shin Shud Beis, that is Sefer Mitzvahs, in the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam, he says, She'ein roi limnois chelkei hamlocha, mehamlocha shepoat tziva ba'asiyosam. Kol chaylik b'fnei atzmoi. I do not say, when I have a Mitzvah that contains a number of component elements within it, that I enumerate each independently, each of the elements independently, in order to make them multiple elements within the Taryag, multiple Mitzvahs in the Taryag. Rather, as long as they're chelkei ha-mitzvahs, elements within a Mitzvah, and combine them into one and count them as one in the minyan ha-Taryag. The Rambam gives a number of examples over there. And one example the Rambam gives is that one does not count separately the Hafroshas Truma and the Nesinas Truma as two separate mitzvahs. I don't say that since I have to be mafresh, that we want mitzvah to separate Truma out from the pile of Tevel. And secondly, independent mitzvah to give to the Kohen. Likewise, says the Rambam, to separate Meiser out of a pile of grain, and then separately to give it to the Levi. I don't say that the Reish HaGez, the shearings, the Choshevah shearings of that year's new wool on the sheep, I don't say, well, separately I'm going to have to designate the Reish HaGez and separately give to the Kohen. These are all not correct. And we would say that in each case, I'm going to be coiled all together in one mitzvah, in the Taryag, mitzvah of Shulam, mitzvah of Maiserishin, mitzvah of Meshitagez. The Rambam says, Ukvar Ta'uba there, that we find that those who came before us, that they made a mistake about this principle, about Chelkei HaMitzvah. And we find that those who came before us, they were Manu, the Matnas Kohuna, which there are 24 Matnas Kohuna, as Chazal say, and they counted the giving to the Kohen as 24 mitzvahs, despite the fact that some of those, they had previously counted the Klaliyistik mitzvah of fulfilling this mitzvah, that mitzvah, and independently they counted as separate from the Taryag, the 613, to give it to the Kohen. So that's a mistake, says the Rambam. The Hasogis Ramban over there is Meir Chandis, and the Ramban says a fundamental point. He disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban says that when it comes, for example, to Hafroshas Truma or the like, Hafroshas Chala, for example, says the Ramban, we would definitely, in fact, count as two separate mitzvahs in Tayag, to mafresh Shuma to set it aside, and thereby to pata the Kri used to be Tevel, and by being mafresh, I transformed the pile of grain. It's no longer Tevel, untithe. It's now called Chulin, tithe. It has different dinim. Likewise, he says the Ramban, the same is true about Chala. You have to mafresh Chala from the dough and give it to the Kayan, and these are two independent mitzvahs. The Ramban goes through a bit of an arichos to show you that they're mentioned separately in the Torah. One place the Torah says to mafresh, one place the Torah says to give. The Ramban being sukkim for all these things. Got to be mafresh, the chala min ha'isa. And in fact, the Ramban is madgish. He stresses that we find there's a bracha on these things. A bracha on the mitzvah, the mafresh chala, and it's found in Chazal. A bracha on the mitzvah, the mafresh shuma. So it's an independent mitzvah. It has a bracha on it, and it has an independent pasuk for it, and that pater is the kri. It's an independent choshev of to it. It's an accomplishment. The kri used to be tevel, now it's not. The ha'isa used to be Tevel, and now these seasons, in other words, would be was Osir prior to taking off the Challah, and now that you mafish the Challah, the Issa becomes Mutter. And secondly, he says, remember, we would count separately a mitzvah to give the Challah to the Kohen, like it says in the Torah, mitzvah to give the Truma. Says the Ramban, that's only true with regard to those places where the Torah independently identifies two steps. So you got to be mafish and you got to give. And with the Torah was keveya, that the hafrosha has an achievement, an accomplishment unto itself. Because prior to the hafrosha, it was osir, it was tevel, by the case of the grain, it was also to eat the isa prior to mafish the challah. So you have an independent achievement by being mafish. And then a second, to give, to take that entity, that challah, that truma, and give it to the kohen. For example, says the Ramban Bereshit HaGeiz, where there is no tevel, there's no tevel on the wool prior to mafish, there's no isser on the wool before you separate out the Reshit HaGeiz. So over there, says the Ramban, it's really all one thing, mitzvah giving to the kohen, because ultimately that's all it is to give to the kohen. There was no transformative halacha that it was also, the wool was also prior to mafish, the Reshit HaGeiz. So there the din is to take Reshit HaGeiz, to take a portion of it out of the new wool and give that portion to the kohen. Over there, it's considered to be all one big mitzvah. So the Michal Feinstein says that perhaps one could have argued that the concept articulated by the Sassemis over here could have been correct al kaponim in the Das Ramban. Maybe it's totally in the Machlokes Ramban Ramban. And according to the Ramban, who holds that there's mamash two separate mitzvahs, so I could argue that there is plenty of room for the Sassemis Shitta. In other words, that the first mitzvah being mafresh, the truma from the Kri, there the Torah doesn't, there's no special loshin, choshev a loshin of Nesina, of Titain, on that particular mitzvah of being mafresh, which is a separate mitzvah of Tayag, the Ramban. So there I take one chit and I pat the kri. It's a separate second mitzvah, a din of titan loy, which is an independent mitzvah, so the Sassemis could be right about that. Then mitzvah of titan loy is fulfilled by waiting around until I have a full kamus, a full quantity of a kezayas of truma, and then I give the kezayas to the kohen. The Sassemis could be right that they're two independent things, one doesn't reveal anything about the other, and one has a shear, one does not, and that would be like, it fits with the Ramban. According to the Ramban, so one thing it becomes much less likely, nishmestaver, to say like the Sassemis says, that they're completely independent and that the Din HaFrosha doesn't have any particular shear, even though the second Shlav, the second Chelek of the same mitzvah, which is to take it and give it to the Kohen, is going to have a shear of Kezias, Lefi, the way the Sfasemis works it out. That becomes less Mustava to go with the Sfasemis. Rebbe Feinstein says, ultimately, this Shtukul Torah doesn't have any real clear source for it, because he really could argue that the Ramban wouldn't argue on the Ramban at this point. In other words, the Ramban would agree that when the Torah says the Din of Titan Loi by Truma, it means take that which the HaFrosha generated, even if the HaFrosha was an independent mitzvah in the Tayag, take that which the HaFrosha generated, give that to the Kohen, and Mela, therefore, since that's the way the mitzvah of Nesina is set up, Nesina's Truma, even if it's an independent mitzvah, it will still reveal back on the HaFrosha that the HaFrosha had to be Choshev, since we have, it is after all, even though it's an independent mitzvah, it's still a preparatory step to the next activity, which is to do a mitzvah Nesina, and mitzvah Nesina is set up to take that which you are mafish and give, and Mela, the giving itself would have to be a Choshev amount too, which would be like the Tosis Rid. There is some support for the basic nekuda here of the Rav Michal Feinstein in the Sefer Mayan HaChochma, which is one of the Achroinim, a chibur on the Min HaMitzvahs. We quoted him a number of times when we said the Shiurim of Masechta Makos. So the Mayan HaChochma actually writes that in his opinion, the Chiddush of the Tosfos Rid is toloi in the machloikas between the Ramban and the Ramban. In other words, what he understands over there is that although the Torah does say titan loy by truma, if you want to examine that titan loy, give it rules unto itself, qualifications unto itself, and say that therefore I needed a sinach hashuva because it says titan loy, he understands that mele according to Ramban, that's perfectly true, because titan loy, the sinach truma is an independent mitzvah. It has guidelines and kolam of its own, and if it says titan loy, presumably it's in a sinach hashuva like the Tosfos Rid. According to the Ramban, that titan loy is just the second shlav of the mitzvah frosha, so then it's not going to convey the idea of an asinah chashuva unto itself, because whatever you're left with after the hafrosha, you'll just give. It's all one mitzvah, so meila, it's not going to have its own rules and its own klolim. Over there, by definition, behechrech, I'm going to say, zokter, according to the Rambam, that I'm mafrish, that's my first step. The hafrosha doesn't have any particular particular reason that it should have to be dafka, a chashuva unto itself, and once a mafrish, the second step of the same mitzvah is simply to give. So titan loy is not going to connote, is not going to convey the idea of a particular chashuva amount, since it's simply the carry through, so to speak, the gemar of whatever it is that you were mafrish. So it's interesting, in other words, that the Mayan HaChachma says that there is an actual machloikis, he assumes, that it's in Raman Ramban at this point, but what he says is that the Tosfos Riz Chiddush is going to be the nekudas HaMachloikis that differentiates between them. In other words, even he takes as a given that I won't say what the Sfasemis says, which is that you're mafresh, and the mafrosha, the step of the hafrosha, let's say the feeder and band, it could be a kolshu, because why not? You know, there's nothing particularly telling you to make it a lot big. So you make a kolshu of hafrosh, and you wait around until you have a large number of these hafroshes accumulate to the kazayas of truma, and then the second mitzvah, the feeder and band, is going to kick in, the mitzvah, and the sin of the kain. That's why my chokhmah understood that even the Ramban won't go like that. Evidently, he did learn, like Michal Feinstein says, that when the Torah gave this independent mitzvah of Nesinas Truma, the Feeder Ramban, it gave it as, in the Surah of, in other words, take that which you are mafrish and be nice in it. Mela, consequently, even though it's independent mitzvah, it's choshev into itself, we're going to go like the Tosfos Rid, according to the Mayan Chochma, the way the Ramban will set it up, and we're going to say that that mitzvah is going to have a sheer choshev, a choshev a quantity. Those things will be true, the Feeder Ramban, but it still has to reveal back on the Hafrosh as well, because we're not saying, in other words, that I'll make my hafrosha wait around, and at some point the independent mitzvah will be kick in after multiple hafroshas till they accumulated to the point of a kezias. The Gemara goes on and brings a rather cryptic brisa, which is a subject of a big machloikis here, Rashi, and a couple of Drochim and Toysis, and how to learn this brisa. The brisa discusses this loyosam ala Hashem, and etc., v'loyitain, and it says, yochoil b'shnei koyhanim. I would think that this loyosase, these double loyosase, loyosam ala yitain, loyosam shem, loyitain levoina, this is two koyhanim. Tamad loymer aleho, loyosam aleho, loyitain aleho, et begufa shel mincha hakosam adaber, it's talking about the gufa mincha, v'loy b'koyed, and not a kohen. Very cryptic brisa. Big tumult over here. Rashi, a couple of drachim and taisis, how to learn this brisa. Now, yesterday, we actually set over a somewhat different nusach of this, with this teaching, which is found in the Teres Kohenim, and we set over from the Ursamech, a Yosoidistic piece in the Ursamech, where he learns that the Rambam learned a fundamental halacha here out of the version of the Teres Kohenim. It seems from the Ursamech that the Rambam apparently had the reading of the Teres Kohenim. It was Gerius in an Awa Gemara as well, which is actually a significant difference, although it's small in terms of number of words, but it's a significant difference between the way it's found in the Teres Kohenim and found over here. As we said yesterday, just to repeat it briefly, we said yesterday, the version of the Teres Kohenim is, I might have thought it's two Kohenim, etc. So, Tamad Loimer Aleha, Begufa Shem Mincha, and not with two Kohenim, Veloi B'Shnei Kohenim. That's the version of Teres Kohenim. Al Gemara says Veloi B'Kohen. The Teres Kohenim says Veloi B'Shnei Kohenim. Based on the Teres Kohenim's version, which it seems there is a Meach assumed that Ramah had that in Awa Gemara too, the Esamech says that that's what Ramah took out his fundamental chiddush, which, to repeat it briefly, that the Rambam's Chiddush is, Rambam's Shita is, that these violations, these loisa says, putting Shemen on the Mincha, putting Levoin on the Mincha, are not given to the person who places the Shemen, places the Levoin on. That's not the person who violates the loisa say. The person who violates it is the Kohen who's makrev it later on. And your makrev with Shemen, with Levoina, that's the person you're in violation of the law. And according to the Ursamech, the Teres Kohenim is saying as follows, it's the Rambam understood the Teres Kohenim, which is to say that I might think it's two independent Kohenim in violation. In other words, one Kohen who places the Shemen, one Kohen places Levoina. The person who places his Oifer B'Shasi places the Shemen, places Levoina. If it's two Kohenim, then two Kohenim are going to be Oifer. But since we're giving a Chadish that, which means, according to the Ursamech's reading, that it's not the act of placing the Shemen Levoina that's the violation. It's the fact that the Gufa Shel Mincha has been transformed. Now it's a Shemen Dika Mincha, a Levoina Dika Mincha, Mincha with Shemen Levoina, and when you're Makriv it, you're over it then, so therefore it's Leibishne Koyanim, this one Koyanim being Makriv, that one Koyanim gets both violations when he's Makriv, rather than not the two Koyanim, not the Leibishne Koyanim, not the original two different Kohen who placed it on, but rather the one Kohen of Makriv. That's how the Rambam read the Teres Kohenim, and the Ursameach appears to be comfortable saying that the Rambam apparently had the Gius of Teres Kohenim and Al Gemara as well. Now, Al Gemara doesn't have this Loshen, this all-important expression of Gufa Shemincha V'loi B'Shnei Kohenim. In fact, the Gius that we have, which is how Rashi had it, is Begufa Shemincha V'loi B'Kohen. So, the thing is, that way we have it, it does not appear that the Nekuda of the Chiddush over here is that I'm refuting the notion that it's possible for two separate Kohanim to be in violation, which is how the Osamech understood the Gius of the Teres Kohanim, and we took out the Rambam's din, you're not having two different Kohanim be violating, even if two Kohanim place it on, because the violator is the one Kohanim, Makavit later. El Gemara is not really going to yield that, and in fact, the Lashon of Rashi over here, and our Sugya makes it pretty clear, that Rashi understood that the person who placed the Shemen on is over when he places, the person who placed the Levoyna on is over when he places, and if two different Kohanim place it on, then the two different Kohanim are going to be in violation, and then it's going to blibe the way Rashi learns in the Havamet and the Maskona. We're not changing on that. We're not saying that it's only the Maisa HaKrova later that the violation and the one Kohen is Makriv, like the Rambam. And the Rashi would appear to be Choylek on this Rambam, and learn into the Gemara the way we have the Giris and the way Rashi explains it, that in fact the Nesinas Shemen, the Nesinas Levoina, is the violation, not the later Hakrova. And we'll come back and explain this, Rashi's version, explanation here just in a moment, but I saw that the Sefer Nesivas HaKodesh, over here in the Sugya, actually does say, Alpidarkoi, he doesn't quote the whole Osameach, etc., but he says Alpidarkoi that the Rashi, the way he understood, and the way Rashi is Mepharish the Gemara over here, will yield the conclusion that we're saying, that Rashi will argue on the Rambam, Rashi will hold that the Maisa placing the Shem, the Maisa placing the Levoina, independent violations, done by two Kohanim is two violations, and interestingly, the Nesivas HaKodesh writes, that it would appear, Zokter, that if you have the two Kohanim, they place the Shem and the Levoina, and later on a different Kohanim comes along with Makriv, that Kohanim's Makriv is not a violation of a Lav. Now, according to the Rambam, that is the Lois HaSei here, according to Rashi, Zokter, it would appear to be, that's actually not the Lois HaSei. The Lois HaSei is placing the Shem and placing the Levoina. The one that place on his meach is not going to be over on the lois hasei. He blinds with the word v'tzorachian. It's actually a chiddush to say it, but nonetheless, he said that is what appears that emerges from the shittas Rashi. Now, Rashi, the way Rashi explains our Gemara, the Rashi says that there was a hava amino over here, that the only way to get two separate lois haseis, two separate violations, two separate malkios, is only if you'll have two separate kohenim. Le'osim le'al shemen, one kohen. Le'idin le'levoina, different kohen. If it's two different kohenim, then you're going to be independently two separate lois haseis, two malkios, the two kohenim. But if it will be one kohen, and then the hava amino of the Gemara, we would say that it's only going to be over one collective lois hasei, one collective violation. That's the havamina of the Gemara, and the maskana of the Gemara is no. Since it says aleha, if a gufa shel mincha kotam bedaber, I look at the vantage point of the mincha. I don't care about whether it's two kainim or one, and you always either on two separate lois hasei's, two violations, regardless one kain or two, when you place the shemen on and then independently place levoina on. The Chafetz Chaim in his Perush on the Teres Kainim elaborates on what the drush is over here. What does it mean, gufa shemincha? How does this expression of gufa shemincha undermine and undo the havamina that I had, which is the only time you over two lois says there's two kainim? What the special concept that's innovated here by the expression of aleha, gufa shemincha? And the Chafetz Chaim is masbir, which he's going with the derech of Rashi and paraphrasing the Rashi's here in the preparation of Teres Kainim. And the Chafetz Chaim says the concept over here is like this, that the havamina was to look at it from the vantage point of the doers in terms of their action that they're doing. So the is an act of placing the Shemen, an act of placing Levoina, two separate acts, and the Havana we said, it takes only when it's two Kohenim, each one doing his own act, that's when it's two violations. Masha Einkein says the Chafetz Chaim, the Chiddush of the Gemara is that I look at it from the vantage point of the Mincha. In other words, look at it in terms of the impact that it had on the Mincha. This Mincha is no longer a Mincha Chareva, so to speak, like we quoted the other day, the Pasuk. It's no longer a dry Mincha, it's a so-called like a Hududika Mincha, as I said, Zogan, like we mentioned yesterday, the notion of making it Mehudu that the Gemara speaks of, it's now a Shemen Dika Mincha, it's now a Levoina Dika Mincha. It's in terms of the impact on the Mincha. Do not cause this Mincha to be transformed from a dry Mincha into a Mehudu Dika Mincha with Shemen, with Levoina. And Mela, conceptually, if that's what it is, then it's not going to make a difference in terms of how many Kohen did it, because the Nekuda here, not you shall not do this act, but rather you shall not cause that the mincha became a different sort of mincha. Look at it from the vantage point of the mincha. If that's the violation, it's not going to make any difference, says the Chafetz Chaim, whether it was done by one or by two. The fact is the mincha got transformed. It's an independent loisa isur. Transform it with shemen, transform it with levina, two independent violations. Against this backdrop, it's worth being misboinen into a couple of Nekudos that are raised, issues that are raised by the Michas Chinuch in his treatment of this discussion, this subject, in Mitzvah Kuf Chof Hei. One point that's made by the Michas Chinuch over there is what happens, Zokter, if I'll place a Chatzizayas of Levina. We mentioned before that Levina definitely has to have a Shir Kezayas to be the violation. So I'll place the Chatzi Zayas of Levina on the Karban Mincha. And then independently later on, much later, I'll come and make a separate activity, a separate Maisa of Nesina, of a separate Chatzi Zayas of Levina. Now, the Mechasuna says that we know if this would have been an Isra Achila, then the Ketu Chatzi Zayas are only Mitztaref if it's done within the Shir of a Kedei Achila's Pras. That's what you find by Yisuri Achila, that it becomes one collective act of eating if they were done within a small requisite number of minutes. However, Zogta Mechas Chinuch, here, this is not an Isra Achila, has nothing to do with that, and there's no question, he says, in his view, that the Mitztaref, the Chatzi Zayas of Levina, placing this Chatzi Zayas and subsequently placing a different Chatzi Zayas, definitely Mitztaref even in a large amount of time. But, Zogta, that's if it's one Kohen that did it. Machain, if it's two Kohenim, one Kohen puts a Chatzi Zayas, and a separate independent Kohen places another Chatzi Zayas, so that there, that they're both going to be potter, because each one only placed a half Zayas, and including the Sheni, even the second one, because the Lav Koi Al Ho'ish, that's the Lashon of the Mechas Chinuch, the Lav goes on the person, but Tzorach Shir Sholem, he's only going to be a violation of Loisa, say, with a Shir Sholem. Now, I saw the Sefer Mechas Ariel over here brings this Mechas Chinuch, and he says he's not so convinced of the second Nakuda that the Mechas Chinuch says, that the first Koyan placed one half Zayas, and even the second Koyan who placed the second half Zayas, and was Hishlim Oil Shir, after all, says the Mechas Ariel, he's mashlamit to the Shir, and now through his action, it's a full kezayas of Levoina on the Mincha. We're still going to say that both, including the second Kohen, even he, are going to be putter from the violation of Lois say, because he didn't do a Shir Shalom unto itself. Zok the Mechas Ariel, perhaps we could clear to say that the second Kohen, in fact, is in violation of Alois HaSei Gomor, since he caused, through his action of placing a Chatzi Zayas, he caused that there is now a Kezayas Shalem of Levoina on the Mincha. Perhaps that transformative act of placing, of causing that through you, that now there's a Kezayas Shalem, even though you only did a Chatzi Zayas, maybe that's Alois HaSei Gomor. Now, Mechas Ariel leaves that with a question. Now, the truth of the matter is that, v'chayr, the right way to set up this question, because Betzim, it's a very big chiddush and mechtesi to say it, you know. I mean, you only placed a half Zayas. What do I care that through you there's now a Kezayas Shalom? But the way we brought out the Chofetz Chaim's explanation of the expression of Begufa Shemincha Kosam Adaba, which is actually a chiddush in the Gemara, that we're looking at this Aleho, Begufa Shemincha Kosam Adaba. Then we're learning out of a pasuk of Aleho. And the way the Chofetz Chaim is setting it up, like we said, the Nakuda here is that we're looking from the vantage point of the Mincha rather than the vantage point of what you did or what he did. And consequently, we say that it's a question of having transformed the mincha into a mincha that's, like we said before, levoina dika mincha. And if that is so, then be'etzem you really could hear, arguably, this tzad, this suggestion of the mincha sariel, that you have to look at how the mincha got transformed. It's through the second guy who was mashon the kezayas, now it transformed mincha, levoina dika mincha with the kezayas levoina. And one could hear, based on this Chavetz Chaim's idea, this suggestion of the mincha sariel. On the other hand, it's not muchrach, and mincha sariel himself leaves it with a suffix. You really could suggest, perhaps, that it's true that it has to be a transformative act, and that's the fundamental principle, the Gufa Shemincha. Still, ultimately, since the Torah does put this and couch this with the expression of Layit and Aleha Levina, it speaks from the vantage point of the Nesina that you did, an act of Nesina. Arguably, it takes an act of Nesina of placing a Kezayas on the Mincha, the act of placement of the act of placing Kezayas, that's going to be the violation. Perhaps placing a half Zayas could never be the violation. So you could hear the two Stada Mechas Ariel, arguably, by basing it on the Chofetz Chaim's understanding of this notion of this Aleha Drasha, that Begufa Shemincha, the notion that it's from the vantage point of the Mincha, that it got transformed. Now, the Mechas Chinuch over there goes on in the Hemshech and says a remarkable thing. Mechas Chinuch says, V'ani mesupuk, I'm in doubt, about a case of someone who places a Chatzi Zayas Levoina on the Mincha, and after that he removes the half Zayas. So it used to be half Zayas Levoina, it's now taken away, and then after having removed it, he places another half Zayas Levoina on the Mincha. So that Betzir of Shneihem Zokter, if I look at the combo of the two, I had first at one half Zayas, then another half Zayas, it's Genawa Kazayas Sholem. But after all, by the time that the second half Zayas came on there, the first half Zayas was mamish removed. So Lachar, you're going to argue to me that that's definitely not a violation. Is Zot HaMechaz Chinuch actually a mesupik about this? And he blives with a suffix on this point. So it could be that even though we never at any one time had a Kezayas Shalom of Levoin on the Mincha, nonetheless, I'll be mitzaref the two of them together. And he says you find a parallel to this in the Achroinim. Where? He says you find in the Prima Godim in Hilchos Shabbos, Prima Godim is mesupik about this benegia to Melachos Shabbos. Now, if you look at the Prima Godim inside, in the Psichol Hilchos Shabbos, the introduction to Hilchos Shabbos, Prima Godim writes that he's mesupik about Melachos, like, for example, koitzer, or melachos like toichen, where we find they have to be koitzer, a particular shir, or shir shalem, of tevuah to be harvested, or a shir shalom of tevuah to grind it up to be toichen, to be a violation of the lois haseh. What if a person is koiter a chati shir of grain, or toichen grinds a chati shir of grain, and then a chati shir subsequently gets destroyed, let's say in a fire, for example, so at the prima godim, and then after the first half shir got destroyed, then you go ahead and you cut, you harvest, you koiter a toichen, grind a chati shir, and he's mesupik, the prima godim is mesupik about whether the two of them would be mitzaref to a shir shalom, given the fact that you never at any one point had a shir shalom of the product, because by the time you got to the second half of the shir, to be koitzer or toich in it, first half is already gone. So, what the Mechas Chinuch is saying is that just like the Prima Godim was Mesupak about and had the Shaila and left it unresolved with regard to Melochah Shabbos, we are going to have the Shaila, and he leaves this unresolved, then again to the Isser of Leit, and Leha Levoino, of Levoina on the Mincha, maybe it's the same question, you know, you place half the Zayas of Levoina on there, subsequently it gets destroyed, it gets removed, it gets taken off, and then you put a second half Kezayas, maybe the two are Mitztaref, even though never at any point that I have a Kezayas Shalem of Levoina on the Mincha. This is the Mechas Chinuch, leaves it a Safek. I want to point out that if you look at the Prima Godim inside, you see something very difficult and very odd about the way that the Mechas Chinuch is telling it too, is drawing it here. Because the fact is that the Prima Godim over there writes Beferish, she says like this, that I'm talking about melachos like koitzer and toichen, for example, but Masha Einkein says one thing I'll never clear is menegeh to koisev. Never melacha of koisev is the koisev shtei oisiyas. So what happens if you wrote down one ois on the paper, and you wrote down one ois of one letter, and they got nimchak, it got erased, and after the first ois gets nimchak, subsequently he writes a second ois, bein arbayim in the afternoon of Shabbos, and that's pshita the potter, says the prima godim, it's definitely potter, the ein kam malocha, calls man she ein kam shnei ois yis ksuvois lefoneinu. So he actually writes the pshitas, that over there by koisev, if you don't have the two letters written together, lefoneinu, it's definitely not going to be a violation of koisev, it my shaila is only regarding malocha is like Koitzer and Toichen. So now, what is the fundamental distinction the Prima Godim is making over here without fully articulating it between Koisev and Koitzer and Toichen? Why is there no Shaila by Koisev? So, he doesn't speak it of a fairish. I actually saw in the Sefer Kotshi Yeshua from Rabbi Yeshua Geltzeler that he discusses this Prima Godim and he mentions that the Mechas Chinuch draws in the Prima Godim here. So, Rabbi Yeshua Geltzeler says something which is really a Dover Poshet to explain this Prima Godim. And she says that the question is touching up defining the fundamental principle underlying the melacha. But you get to melachas koisev zokter, there's no question. And this is the fact, when you learn the melachas koisev, Hilchas Shabbos is actually a very, very clear thing, and there's different sushtels and nekudos and the melachas koisev that are really based on this principle, and that is that the koisev shteyoisiyas together is that you're making it into a chefs of a word. Now, it doesn't have to be a real word necessarily, it could be a so-called fake word, but the notion is that the two oisiyas are mitzuriv together to become a ksiva. And it's that's very clear, different nekudos in the sugi of koisev like that. And Mela, that's why it was a little bit poshut, that since the gather of Melechas Kosev is to generate and to create this chefza of a ksiva, consequently, that's why it's absolutely clear that if never at any one point that I have this Deoisius together, it's clear that you're not going to be in violation. Masha Einkein says, Rav Geltzeh L'Kotshi Yeshua, he says that B'neged to V'Koytzer and Toichem, whether it's the Maisa Ktsira and the Maisa Tchina, and it's not a question of having generated necessarily a particular Heftz, a particular entity. So that's where I have a question that I'd be a Mitzarev to half shear of Koytzer that he did before, even if it got destroyed, perhaps, a Mitzarev to the half shear of Koytzer or of Toichem that I do subsequent to that. That's what he says. And he writes that in the Hemshach Advarim, the Kodesh Yeshua points out that the Mechas Chinuch drew in this Shasafik of the Prima Godim and brings it outside of Hilchas Shabbos and sells it to Benegeh to other mitzvahs HaTayr, like for example over here, he sells it to Benegeh to the placing Levoina on the Mincha. The Kodesh Yeshua adds over there that we find, for example, the Mechas Chinuch in a different mitzvah, in the mitzvah of Bal Yeroah, of not having Chometz on Pesach. So over there also, in mitzvah Yud Tes, the Mechas Chinuch has a parallel question also with the Prima Godim that he brings in, and he says, what about Bal Yeroah, Chometz on Pesach? The violation is of having a Shir Sholom, a Kazayas of Chometz. What happens if a person has a Chatzi Zayas earlier on at Pesach, which gets destroyed, and then later on he gets another half Zayas later on Pesach. I never at any one point had the full Kazayas Shalem, are you in violation of Ayurah? You're not, then the Mechas Chinuch has a suffix there too, and he brings in this Prima Godim to express a suffix. So that's what the Kodesh Yeshua says. Now, the emes is that the truth is like this, that if you're going to explain the Prima Gadam in the manner that Kodesh Yeshua himself explains it, which L'chayr is the correct explanation, what else is there? In other words, that the Prima Gadam himself is Noches L'chalek, in his Suffolk itself, between two types of Lois HaSeis in the Torah, or Melochai Shabbos. There's those Melochais which involve having generated a particular Heftzah, and over there it's clear, in other words, that you have to have generated the Heftzah and had it intact, the Shlemus at some point. So Kodesh say, if it's clear to the Prima Gadam himself, who cleared the Shaila, it's clear to him that if you don't have a shtei oisias that a ksuva is together lefaneinu at some point, it's definitely not a violation of the lois hasei and the melechas koisei. He only cleared it, but again, to think like koiser and toichen, which are not a question of generating a particular entity. So you really need to understand, according to that, I would personally think that mechas chinuch is actually shver, and you have to be done on him, for just briefly, first of all, when you get to chometz of Pesach, I would think that that's actually tzorochin what the shaila is, the truth is, because by Bal Yiroh, the aside of the lois hasei is not in the dafke, in the maisa of doing an act of getting chometz into your reshus. By Mr. Rambam's mavurid, you know, the truth is that by chometz of Pesach, that even if the chometz was in your reshus, he didn't destroy it to your oivim by Yiroh, and there certainly is rias to this present of by Yiroh just by virtue of not having destroyed the chometz that he previously had. So the aside of by Yiroh is not to have it. And the notion over there is not the maisa that you did. I mean, if you do it then with a maisa, the Rambam says, they call the lois yesh b'maisa. You do it without a maisa, you just continue having it, then it's a lav she'em b'maisa. But the aside of having a lois, say, violation is not after the act that you did. Consequently, we ought to look at the question of whether you have the chometz, and over there it's a question of having a metzias of chometz. So in order to have said l'chayr that you have to have had a kazayas sholem b'faneinu, similar to the b'megodim's koyseiv, it's a question of whether you have this entity of a kazayas chometz. And b'emes likewise over here, the truth is the mechas chinuch is a rather extraordinary, startling thing that he's suggesting, that you're over the levoina by having a chatzizayas levoina, placing a chatzizayas levoina, and perhaps removing it and placing another chatzizayas levoina independently. So let's examine that. I mean, first of all, according to the way that the Achronim, a Madaik from the Rambam, this is going to be a non-starter. Because the way that we said before, the Yosemech and others learn up the Rambam is Meduyuk, that he understood that the Lois has a violation of, Laitin Elalavoina, is going to be on the Kayan of Makriv, B'Shas when he's Makriv. He's Makriv it with having had on it a Kazayas Levoina, so then you're going to be in violation of the Lois say is the Kayan who does the Hakrova. Now, according to that, obviously, you have to look simply at whether there was Kazayas Levoina intact on the Mincha, B'Shas, the Hakrova. It's not going to help much that somebody placed at some earlier point in time and have Zayas Levoina and then removed it, because the person is the Makriv, is the violator, and he's only in violation of Eloisa, say, a Gomer, if he is Makriv with the Kazayas Levoina intact. So the Mechas Chinuch is not going with that, Rambam, or he didn't make the Diak, whatever it is, he's not going to shtim with that. We did say that Rashi is Meduyak, and they're going to take it out of Rashi, that Rashi doesn't learn like that. But Seder, see, he's going with Rashi, and he's going that the Eloisa, say, is in the Maisa of place. But the truth is, even there, we have to be done based on what we said before, is the Chavetz Chaim's understanding of the Chiddush of the Maskanas of Gemara, and the Maskanas of Teres Kayanim, according to the Chavetz Chaim, learns that Aleha Begufa Shemincha Kosim Adaber, which, as we said before, means that you don't look just in itself on the act that the Kayan did of placing Levoina, but you look at the transformation that occurred. In other words, you effectuated that transformation by having placed your Levoina. Now it's no longer a dry Chareva de Gemincha, it's now a Levoina de Gemincha, so to speak. I mean, if that's what it is, so arguably, it ought to follow that the Mechas Chinuch case definitely is not a violation of the Lois HaSei Gomor, because you didn't effectuate the transformation. The transformation has a shear. It's only when you have a Levoina, the Gemincha is only when it has a Kazayas Levoina. And over here, you never at any one point brought about that transformation, because it never was a Levoina, the Gemincha with a Kazayas Levoina. So according to the way the Chavetz Chaim is learning the Maskana HaSei Gemara, it really ought to be argued that you have to look at whether you have that net result, that transformed mincha with a Kazayas Levoina on it, which you don't have here. And that actually, again, the way the Chavetz Chaim is learning particularly is going to be doma to koisev of the Prima Gadim, not to koisev etoichen, be doma to the case which the Prima Gadim says he's not mesubik about, because of the fact that it's a question of whether you generate a particular cheftza, which requires the shear to be called that you had that cheftza. Let's go on now to Tosis's pshat in the Gemara. Tosis, the way he learns over here, says that he doesn't think it's at all logical to suggest that the Havamina of the Gemara, Yochel B'Shnei Koyhanim, means literally that the Havamina was that the only time you're in violation of two separate loisa, says Le'osim La'Hashem and Le'itna Levoina, is only when two independent Koyhanim did the independent acts of Sima Shem and the Sinas Levoina. Tosis says it's not Mestaver, and where are you going to get that from, that this Havamina, even as a Havamina, that it's only when two independent Koyhanim did it, that you have the two separate violations. Rather, says Tosis, he says he understands understands that actually, when it says two kohen here in the Hava, it's lav dafka, and the real nakuda here is yochel b'shnei menachos. It just happens to be zok toisus that, generally speaking, you have different kohenim, separate kohenim doing the separate avoidus and the separate menachos. Because that's Urcha the Milsa, that's the norm, als Berovam Hadras Melech, like Chazal tell us, Berovam Hadras Melech, having multiple kohenim get involved. So what really the Nakuda here says, Toisis, in the Gemara is as follows. The Nakuda is, we had a Hava Mina, you're over when you noisen Shemen into a Mincha, you're a Loisa, say, you're over a Loisa, you're playing Noisen Levoin in Mincha. But to get the two Loisa says, to be violating both, you're gonna have to have had two separate Menachos. One that you place Shemen in, one you place Levoin in. Why? Because in the Hava Mina, the Gemara held, says Toisis, that if you take the same mincha, let's say I put shemen into it, and then afterwards I take that same one and put levoina in, the second act that was done, the act of nesinas levoina, was done in the mincha, it's already a mincha psula. It's already possible because it had shemen already placed there, and consequently I would have had a half a minute that you're not over on a mincha psula. It's already redefined as a possible. We find a similar thing, Zokte, earlier in the Perek. Mechametz is a psula. A person is mechametz a mincha, is a lois say, but if you make a mechametz a mincha that's possible already, it's not a lois say. So likewise, you put levoina on to mechat already Passover because of the shemen, and that was the hava mina that you're not going to be in violation for the second act, and that's what the Gemara is mechadish, a special drush over here to tell you that even though the mincha got passed by the first act of placing, let's say, the shemen, nonetheless the second act would be a violation when you place a levoina. Mechas chinuch takes out of this toisis, he quotes the toisis, he takes out of toisis that we're being mechadish over here, that the lois say of nesinas levoina is even applicable to a mincha psula. Even a mincha got passed, like over here got passed with the shemen, afa pi kena do my second act of placing levoina, I'm over on the lois say. Mechas chinuch broadens that and it says that based on this toisis, according to toisis, any mincha that got passed in any manner, whatever it is, in any man, in any oifen, the mincha is passed, still we have exeris akosiv that you're over on the lois say when you place levoina on the mincha, even though it's already Pasel. He notes, and this is true, that Tosis later in the Tosis brings him in Tam Shita, and in Tam Taka argues on all this, and Tam learns the Sugya differently, and he learns that even Maskonas HaSugya, it is like that, or more precisely, according to Ibn Tam, the Maskonas HaGemara is Mechadish, it is like that, that Aleho, B'gufa Shemincha, Kosim Medaber, the Chiddush of the Gemara is, the way he learns, Gufa Shemincha means Mincha Ksheira. In other words, what we're saying is, the Mincha has to be kosher, and the Hainu, the fear of Ibn Tam, the Gemara is saying, that if you place Shemen onto a Mincha and Pasel it, then you're not going to be over on the subsequent act, even maskana of placing levoina, because the mincha is already nifsa with the first act. According to Ben Tam, the only time when a person be a violation of both the shemen and the levoina, one after the other, would only be if it would be two independent minochis. So, but Minchas Chinuch says, the machleik is rishayim, but according to Taisis, against Ben Tam, in any manner in which the mincha became possible, I would say that you're in violation. The second step, placing the levoina, even the mincha is already possible. Now, that's obviously a chiddush, what the Minchas Chinuch is broadening the parameters of this Tosis, and he's saying that it applies even if you got Nifsal in any manner. And the truth is that the Keren Ohr is mavur that he does not like that. The Keren Ohr on Daf Nun Tes writes, Himeila, what comes out of this toisis at the Keren Ohr, that you put the shemen on, then you put the levoina on, the second act, the levoina is a violation too. That's all zok there. It's kule chode isuruhu, hashemen vahalavoina. One big isser, putting shemen, putting levoina, and the Keren Ohr says it's actually doimer to the case of mechametz, acha mechametz that we had earlier in the parak. Let's say a person mechametz a mincha, he makes it fermented, and now you go ahead and do a second act of chimetz on it, so you're in violation again a second time. The mincha is already possible for the first chimetz. Good, but it's one hemshich. In other words, the idea over here would be that it's considered to be one act of done that was being mechametz a mincha, but it was done in segments, and the second act is just moisiv onto the first act, but it's core that all of these acts is a series of acts that are being done on the mincha that was fundamentally kosher, and with Mechametz it, and with Moisef onto it, so the hoisafa of the act is a hoisafa of the Isser as well. Likewise, over here, you're putting shemen, you're putting levoina, it's all one Isser, putting shemen, putting levoina, and therefore, consequently, there's a violation, because it started a mincha ksheira, I put shemen, I put levoina, and the hoisafa of the act, that's like mechametz acha mechametz, and it's a violation. Masha Enkin is at the Keren Ohr, if the mincha was possible for some zaitig aside reason, that there he says that it's definitely mistavit to him, that there'll be no iser at all. But the whole Yisoyta is Zakti Keren Ohr, take a korban that's kosher and ensure, you gotta ensure it's not muhudr. If you make it muhudr, like Chazal say, you place shemen, levoina, so then you're gonna be in violation. It's gonna start it out as a mincha psula for some other reason that he believes that it definitely would not be oiver. Now, a couple of the kudos here. First of all, this comparison to mechametz Achar Mechametz, which we've mentioned before that the Achrenim talk about it in Tosfos, or the Rebbeinu Tam actually expresses this to me, where he says the Gemara had a Shaila about whether you put Shemen on, then you put Levoina on, are you in violation with the second step of Levoina? So I got nifsal with the first step, but Rebbeinu Tam says we had a Shaila about it because it's like Mechametz Achar Mechametz. He makes this comparison as well, that, you know, just like we find in Mechametz the Minchah, Mechametz it again, the second step is a continuity of the first, and maybe you're in violation of that as well. Rebbeinu Tam says it was more a Shaila, but he happens to learn, like we said before, that you're actually not in violation. Lefiha MS, he learns the Maskana Segemora is that the second step, once it's Niftzal, second step is not significant, not a violation. The Ramechal Feinstein over here points out that Be'emes, what's the Dimyan? He says, the Meilu, Mechametz Acha Mechametz is continuing the same act. I have Mechametz and Mechametz again. But over here, where I put Shemen on, and the second act is a different act. It's putting Levoina on there, which is identified separately by the Torah, you know, Loyosim La Shemen Levoina. So what's the Svara that we find over here in Tosfos, Rishonim Achronim, to perhaps compare this to Mechametz Acha Mechametz? So he says, the argument, he says, the understanding is, Zokter, that you could argue that it's all one big Shem. When you put Shem, when you put Levoina, it's one collective concept of being Mahadir, the Mincha. Like we said, Shaloyah He Kabonim Mehudur. The Gemara speaks about this on the Vav, the notion that the Mincha's Choyde shouldn't be Mehudur, it shouldn't be special. And there's just two ways, there's Shem and there's Levoina. So Meilu Zokter, it's all Shem Echo, the notion of making it Mehudur, and that's what we find the Dion in the Rishayim over here, a Dion in the Meforshim, this idea that you put Shemen on, then you put Levoina, it's all Hisafa onto one collective concept of making the Mincha Mehudar. The second Nekuda here is found actually in the Briskerov stencil. It's a bracketed comment, the name of Reberl, that it says over there that he tainted that this whole concept that the Mincha is already possible, and therefore Tosfos in the time of a whole Dion of Machloikis about whether I'm going to be in violation when I do the second act of placing Levoina after I pass the Mincha. It is only that it's inapplicable according to the Das HaRambam, because according to the Rambam, nothing happens until the Hakrova. What the Torah is saying is that b'shas hakrova, if it has shemen of the min, shemen of the vayna, shemen has levayna. So then I have what the Torah is identifying as layosim la shemen eaten the vayna at the moment of the hakrova. Reberl understood that before the hakrova, according to the Rambam, nothing happened to this mincha. It's not nifsal. It's not even addressed by the Torah until the shas hakrova. At the time of the hakrova, I looked, does it have shemen levayna, and therefore there's nothing to discuss because the shemen levayna are both present simultaneously b'shas the hakrova, and nothing is really before the other, even if one came onto the mincha before. Consequently, there's nothing to discuss about whether there's two violations, which there certainly are two, according to the Rambam. That's what Reberl said, Zechon Levracha. And the Chavetz Chaim over here, interesting, some Sakert, in the Zevach Toida, and Lukuti Halachas here, he actually writes, in his opinion, he's a Mestaver, without a Raya, that even according to the Rambam, that the Loisa say transpires, takes place, B'shas the Hakrova, Zok the Chavetz Chaim, I believe that the Cheftza of the mincha is transformed into a Psula at the moment when I place the Shemen, a place of Levoina. The Loisa say, the act which is the violation, which is the Loisa say, that's the act of being Makalufi the Rambam. But the transformation of the Mincha from Ksherit Psula occurs when you put on the Shem, you put the Levoina. And according to the Chavetz Chaim, we have the same deal and the same discussion in the Rambam as well. I put the Shemen on, and then afterwards, maybe the second step is nothing to Levoina, because with Levoina, the place onto a Mincha Psula, and therefore, consequently, it might be arguable, according to him, that when you makrif it later with the shemen levoina, it's the shemen specifically that has the chashivus and which constitutes the violation. The levoina perhaps doesn't have the chashivus because levoina, when it went on to a mincha psula and achieved nothing in being placed onto that mincha. The Mishnah discusses the acts of hagosha and tenufa that are done on some menachos. Tenufa is the waving of the mincha, and hagosha is the act of touching it inside the keili to the corner of the mizbeach. And some menachos have hagosha, some have tenufa. The Mishnah discusses which has which, and we can conclude with Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Oimer that mechas koyin and mechas koyin mashiach ein b'am hagosha. Various menachos offered by the koyhanim have no hagosha because they have no kmitza. V'chol she'ein b'hem kmitza ein b'hem hagosha. So Reb Shimon makes the taliyah, those menachos which have no kmitza done on them, and menachos that are brought by koyin have no kmitza, therefore they have no hagosha either. Tosfos asks a question on this. Tosfos asks that we find that Reb Shimon himself holds elsewhere in Menachos that a Menchas Choyte of a Kohen does have Kmitza done on it, and Reb Shimon's Shita, based on the way he dashes the Psukim, is that the Menchas Choyte of a Kohen has a Kmitza, and the Koimetz is Korev La'atzmoy, and the Shirayim are Korev in Bifnei Atzmon. So the Koimetz gets Korev by itself, and the leftovers, the Shirayim, they don't get eaten, it's a Menchas Kohen. But it's a mechas choyte, a shel koyhein, the koymitz get independently korov, shirayin gets independently korov. So Taisa's kasha is that we know that a mechas choyte of a koyin doesn't have hagosha either. How are you going to justify that? How are you going to explain it according to the head? But Rav Shimon himself says over here that that which has no kmitza has no hagosha. In fact, the mechas choyte of a koyin has a kmitza, l'choyre, and yet it has no hagosha. The Taisa's comes out in the end that we have to say that in reality, the real question of whether which menachos have a hagasha is really going to depend on the svara that's given in the Gemara, whether the mincha is necha l'kohanim, is it eaten by kohanim. So, mincha is eaten by kohanim, mincha brought by Yisrael, eaten by kohanim, and has a hagasha, mincha's kohen doesn't get eaten by kohanim, and doesn't have a hagasha, and the mincha's chaytish of kohen doesn't get eaten by a kohen either. It gets nikmetes according to Rav Shimon, and the shirayim is korov on the fire b'fnei atzmoy, so it doesn't get eaten, so no hagasha on that. Either Mishnah doesn't give that svara. The Taisis is somewhat madrik and says that you have to say that the Mishnah is not giving any tam. The Mishnah is simply telling you that a fact that that which has no kmitza has no hagosha either. It's not coming to attempt to imply that if there is a kmitza, there automatically is a hagosha. Not necessarily so. If there's no kmitza, there's no hagosha, like Rav Shimon says. There is a kmitza, it's going to depend, and we're not really giving you a klal muchlot on implying that every single mincha will have a hagosha if it has a kmitza. A little bit of a dochuk mahalach according to Tosis. And the Michal Feinstein over here writes in the Shiurim that if you look carefully at the Lashon of Rashi in the Mishnah, it appears that Rashi very briefly, concisely, bavorns the question of Tosis. The Lashon of Rashi over here is that kol she'ein lo kmitza, Rashi says, lahatir shirayim la'koyhanim. In other words, that Rashi seems to be narrowing down that we're not talking about any kmitza, we're talking about the kmitza that's matir shirayim la'koyhanim. That's the kind that doesn't have a kmitza, doesn't have a hagosha, does have a kmitza, does have a hagosha, like Rav Shimon is saying. And in fact, Zokti Rav Michal Feinstein, the Michas Chodesh HaKoyen, does not have that kind of kmitza. It doesn't have the kmitza that's matir shirayim l'koyhanim, and it's a different kind of kmitza that's matir, that takes the shirayim and you take them from the fire of the mizbeach. And Mela, that's not the kmitza the Mishnah is talking about according to Rashi, and Rashi's Bavoni takes his question, and according to Rashi, we really could learn Rav Shimon that the kmitza of the Mishnah, the one that's that one is the true determinant of whether it will be Hagosha or not. Rav Michal Feinstein goes on and says, what would be the hezber of the machloikis between Rashi and Tosis? When the kuda are they arguing on? So he says like this. He says, first of all, just a bit of a hakzama, that in order to justify the Rashi, we need to discover that the kmitza of the mechas chodesh HaKoyen is a fundamentally different kind of kmitza which operates with a different lumbus. Because otherwise, it's just totally arbitrary what Rashi happens to be saying, that the kmitza we're talking about that determines the hagosha is the one that's mati shirayim l'koyenim. If a kmitza works in one way, all kmitzas have the same lumdus. It just happens to be the mechas chodesh HaKoyen kmitza. It's not matir shirayim to eat. It's matir shirayim for the fire of the mizbeach. Then really, the mishnah is not justified in just arbitrarily picking ein lo kmitza. And really, ein lo kmitza really means, like Rashi says, the kmitza is matir shirayim l'koyenim. If all kmitzas work the same way, and you speak of kmitza, you got to speak of all kmitzas with that language. So therefore, Zokti Rav Michal Feinstein, we ought to examine the question of whether there are totally different kinds of kmitzas that operate different ways. And this, Zalk, there is really going to depend on a Yerushalmi that's brought down and discussed by Tosfos in Masechta Soita. In Soita Chav Gimel, Tosfos discusses the exact case of a mechas chayt shel kohanim according to Rav Shimon, which the halacha is remarkable, unique din. You take a kmitza, offer the kmitza on the fire independently the shirayim, and the Yerushalmi rather cryptically clears a shayla, the boy, we ask a question, these shirayim, after having done the kmitza, so you offer the shirayim on the fire, mishum mahein boyin, what are they coming out? Are they mishum koimitz? Are they like a koimitz unto themselves? They're not a koimitz, but they like a koimitz unto themselves, or are they like a regular shirayim? And the Yerushalmi says, some nafgeminis. If we would say that the shirayim that are being offered are themselves like a koimitz, you can't offer them at night, in a nois nabalaila, in a nois alacha misa, you wouldn't be able to offer it after the misa is habaylam, and also in a mechashev lehem, you wouldn't be able to mefagel the korban based on the thinking about when I'm going to offer those shirayim, because they're not ordinary shirayim, they're special shirayim, they're like a koimitz. If I hold on the other hand that they're like regular shirayim, then you'll be able to offer up these shirayim balaila, you could offer them up after misa is habaylam, and you could be a pigle in thinking about about offering them shalom with manoi. So zokt of them, the Rebbe of Feinstein, let's examine this carefully. What are the fundamental questions that the Yerushalmi is raising? It's very sawsome. What is this shiloh that we are articulating, putting into these words, are the shirayim like a koimetz or not? Zokt there, what the Yerushalmi is getting at is a very fundamental question about understanding how mechas kodesh hakoyanim of Rav Shimon is going to work. It is, after all, a unique case. You know, you don't normally have this, that I do a kmitza on it, I offer the koimitz, and then I take the rest and offer that too on the fire. What's the hezbar advorim? There's really two ways to understand that zok there. It could be that fundamentally, the kmitza over here works exactly the same way as all of the kmitzas, which is to say, the kmitza is a matir. We know that a koimitz is a matir. You offer the kmitza on the fire, and that's matir, gveintloch, it's usually matir, the achila of the shirayim to the bailam. That's what a matir is, an avoider that permits that. Enables, we have the Zrikas Adam of Korban Behem, which is a matir, it enables the Achilas HaBosar. So the Zrik Kmitza, offering the Koimetz of a Mincha, is matir Shirayim, normally the Achilas HaKehanim. Perhaps I could say over here too, that by a Michas Chodesh al Koin, according to Rav Shimon, the Kmitza, the offering the Kmitza, is also a matir. You offer the Kmitza on the fire, and that's matir Shirayim, not the Shirayim la'achilas ha'koyanim, but rather matir Shirayim to be offered on the fire. So we have that the same as the usual structure of a korban mincha, the kmitza is the matir, and the Shirayim are the nitorim, they become permitted. It is in this case, they become permitted to the fire of the Mizbeach. That's one way to learn. Or I could say, it's just a gzeiras ha'kos of b'yama to do a ma'is kmitza on a mechas chodesh ha'koyanim, and do the haktoras ha'koyimitz, but in fact, that kmitza does not have the label of a matir, it's not matir. Really, the din is that the entirety of this mincha is supposed to be offered on the fire. It has to be offered on the fire. Granada, instead of offering in one shot, in one entity, I take the koimitz, I do a kmitza, I offer the koimitz separately, and I offer the shirayim separately, but in reality, neither is matir the other. The koimitz is not matir the shirayim. You have a din to be able to offer up all of them, to offer both of them, but there's a cost of the yama to do the kmitza in itself. So, on the end, zokter, that's what the aset of the Yerushalmi shaila is. If I hold that the kmitza is not a matir in this case, it's just there's a cost to do the kmitza and to offer it separately on the fire, but the shirayim are being offered independently unto themselves because they have an independent din haktora, like any part of a mincha is supposed to be offered if it's a mechas kohen, supposed to be offered on the fire. If that's the case, then the shirayim, the offering, the haktora of the shirayim will have mamash Hashem avoido on it, like any avoido, like the avoido of haktora sakoimis will be the avoido of haktora sashirayim, and like any avoido, it won't be able to be done balayla, and it won't be able to be brought after the misa bailam. You don't bring the mincha, haktora of the mincha after the misa bailam, so you can't bring this one after the misa bailam. You won't be able to mechashev lohem because pigol works. That the klal of pigol is you do an avoid on a matir, and you're thinking about the nitor to be doing shalibis manoi, so that's what pigol is. In this case, I don't have any matir, I don't have any nitor, and therefore there won't be any pigol just because when I did the haktoras hakoimetz, I'm thinking of over the shirayim wrongly. On the other hand, if I go with the other side of the hakir, and that's the other side of the Yerushalmi's shiloh, I could say that. In fact, the Haktoras HaKoimetz is a matir over here. It's matir the Shirayim, just matir them for something unusual. Instead of matir them for Achilas and Bailim, the Shirayim will be offered on the fire. If I learn that way, then the Haktorah of the Shirayim will not have a Shem Avoida on it. The Avoida was done on the Haktoras HaKoimetz, was done on the Koimetz. That's matir the Shirayim, and the Shirayim will go on the fire of the Mizbeach as well. But they are Nitor, they're becoming permitted with the Avoida of the Haktoras HaKoimetz, they became permitted to be offered on the fire of the Mizbeach, to go on the fire of the Mizbeach, despite the fact that there's no Shem Avoida on that, the Avoida was done on the koimitz, which is matirid. Consequently, since it doesn't have a shem avoida, the offering of the shirayim, I could offer balaylo, I could offer it lachamisa bailam, because these rules that you can't offer balaylo or after misa bailam, they apply to the avoida of a mincha, and this chalak of offering the shirayim with the fire is not an avoida. And likewise, pigle would work, the shaman comes out. It's a shayla about where the pigle works, but fundamentally speaking, in terms of this hakir, the pigle would work. I offer up the haktoras hakoimitz and think we'll offer the shirayim tomorrow, the wrong time, that too would have a shem pigle. Because the kmitza, the avoid the koimitz is the matir, and the shirayim are the nitorim, they're becoming permitted, then this will be a regular case in which we could apply pigol. So those are the two stodim of the Yerushalmi. Granda, the Yerushalmi comes out over there, that in fact, the haktoras hakoimitz is a matir, and consequently you'll be able to offer the kmitza, the shirayim balaylo, maybe offer them la'achamisa, because only the koimetz, a Torah's a koimetz of the true avoida, that's the matter, it's matter the shirayim, lachilos is beach. Zokt of them, Reb Michal Feinstein, says he believes that the machloikis Rashi and Tosfos in Elis Sugya is going to depend on the tzori hayushalmi. The Tosfos learns, like Tosfos brings the maskonas hayushalmi, the Tosfos mesachta saita, and the maskonas hayushalmi is that even by Michal Chodesh al Kayanim, the kmitza has the same lomdish akuk, the same conceptual perspective as any kmitza. It's a matir of the shirayim, and the shirayim became nitor, they became permitted to, in this case, to offer on the fire, but offering the fire will not be an avoider. The Haktoras HaKoimitz is the avoider, which is matir the shirayim. If that's the case, Zok there, Tosfos is going to have to reject what Rashi suggests over here, that when it says in the Mishnah that which doesn't have a kmitza has no agosha, etc., etc., that's going to be, Rashi narrows it down, a kmitza which is lachilah habaylam. Because Dr. Michal Feinstein, since according to Tosfos, the lomdus of the kmitza by Michal Shaitis HaKoyanim, even though it's not lachilah habaylam, the lomdus is identical to the lomdus of any kmitza. The kmitza is matir shirayim. So then the Mishnah, you can't be arbitrarily confined or narrowed down the way that Rashi does it by saying, well, we're only talking about the kmitza that's matir lachilah habaylam, machilah HaKoyanim. What's the difference what it's matir for? The fact is, all kmitzas are the same. The Mishnah speaks of kmitza, and consequently, you have to do what Tosfos says, which is to say that the Mishnah doesn't mean to exhaustively define which cases have hagosha, etc. You're stuck. You can't learn the Mishnah literally. But Masha'enki is that Rashi understood like the other side of the Yerushalmi. Rashi learned that the only kmitza, which in fact has a lomdish Hashem kmitza, the kind that's the classic matir, that's the kind that's la'achilos ha'kayhanim. The other kmitza, the one that's mitzvah chodesh ha'kayhanim, works completely differently. It doesn't have the label of a matir of the shirayim that kmitzas generally have. It's just an act, a digzeres ha'kosa, to do the act of a kmitza and to offer the kayhanim separately, even as I recognize that we offering the shirayim separately with the same ma'isa ha'ktorah, the same ma'isa avoida as the kayhanim. Just digzeres ha'kosa be able to do the act of kmitza and offer the kayhanim separately. If that's what it is, then Rashi is perfectly justified in saying that when Isha speaks of kmitza as the determinant, the kayhanim, of which minchas have a hagosha, the kmitza we're talking is the classic lomdus kmitza with the classic lomdus, which is that it's a matir, which Rashi correctly speaks out, opidarkoi, opidaitoi, that the case of kmitzas that are a matir are the ones that are matir lachilas hakoyanim. That's the kmitza of the Mishnah, and that totally excludes the case of the kmitza chodesh hakoyan, because the minchas chodesh hakoyan has, true, it has a kmitza, a lomdus wise, conceptually speaking, it's a completely different concept, and therefore that's simply not included by the lomdus of the kmitza in this mission, which is the classic kmitza, the kmitza that's a matter of the shirayim, and that's the kind that's the sole determinant, and correctly, like the Rashi understands the Mishnah, it will determine solely, according to Rav Shimon, the kind which has that conceptual lomdus kmitza has a hagosha, the kind that's lacking in that kind of kmitza, which Mechaz Kedesh HaKoyen is also lacking in the lomdus kmitza, which is a matir, you're lacking in that kmitza that will not have any hagosha.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Maariv Mekayimus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.